You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
1 Corinthians 15, this is Paul speaking. In this whole chapter, which I don't have time to get into it, you ought to read it. It's a great chapter on the resurrection body, this new body that we're going to have. Thank God we're going to get a new model, amen, when we rise from the dead. We're going to get a brand new model, a brand new body that'll never grow old, never get sick. You know, one thing about heaven, and you don't hear a lot about heaven. Seems like churches don't preach too much on anymore. We should. But in heaven, there are no funeral homes, and there are no hospitals. People never get sick. People never die. You went to your last funeral when you leave this earth. You'll never go to another one in heaven. People live forever in heaven. That's where we're going. Amen. And you went to your last hospital. Your last hospital. When you go to heaven, you have gone to your last hospital. You'll never go to another one. People never get sick in heaven. And so they don't have hospitals. They don't have funeral homes. They don't need them up there. Praise God. All things are made new. We're going to have a new body, a new existence. Hallelujah. And it's coming. Jesus procured that for us. And we thank God for that. Hey, and before I get into the word, we forgot to pray for a couple of people. Many of y'all know Maurice and Teresa that came here for a while. Well, Teresa passed away this last week. Just all suddenly, I think they don't know what happened. I think she might have had a heart attack. I think she was 41, very young. I talked to Maurice and prayed for him on the phone day before yesterday. And, you know, told him with anything we do, sure let us know. Told him we'd like to see him in church, come back. And Glenn Ellis passed away. Glenn Ellis, of course, was just just an icon here in Wills Point. He came from Edgewood, actually. Was born and raised in Edgewood. And I consider Glenn a very good friend over the years. He had a lot of trouble in the last few years with dementia and Alzheimer's. But he went on to be with the Lord. He was a strong Christian. And we went and visited the family at the funeral home the other night, June and all the kids and everybody. It's good to see everybody there. And they're doing real good. But we want to pray for those families, especially for Maurice and, of course, for the Ellis family. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for your comfort and your strength. You are the God of all hope and God of all comfort. And right now, supernaturally, we ask that you do comfort Maurice and Teresa's relatives and friends at this time of loss in their life. Comfort them with the confidence that they know where she is, that she's in heaven, and they will see her again. She just checked out and went on a long journey, and it's going to be a while before we see her again, but we will. And I thank you for giving that knowledge and impressing that knowledge from your word upon Maurice. We ask that you give him peace and that you give him comfort, you give him strength. And we thank you that we do know where she is, that she loved you and she loves you now. She's very much alive, just in another place. Same thing with the Ellis family, all the girls and Greg, the son, and June, his wife, and the whole family and all the friends and all the people that he's impacted and affected here in this community and this town and other towns, surrounding towns. We just thank you for the impact that Glenn has had on all of us. And Father, we thank you for the gift that he was to us while he was here. We thank you, we know where he is, that he doesn't have any mental problems right now. He doesn't have any dementia right now. He knows who he is. He knows everybody else too, that he's completely whole and healed in heaven. And Father, we give you glory for that. But strengthen the family and comfort the family. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15. You know, it's funny, it's interesting, we're talking about these people that we prayed for. And the resurrection is what we're celebrating today. And that changes everything. You know, it changes our outlook, our perspective, the way we look at things, the way we handle situations. You know, Jesus conquered hell, death, and the grave. We need to think about it in those terms. I know Christmas is coming around, be here before you know it. And we'll talk about that babe in the manger, you know, and that little baby that was born without sin. That's true, no doubt. And the wise men came and worshipped him, and of course the shepherds came and worshipped him and all that. But see, Jesus is more than just a babe in a manger. And we talk about his sinless life, and he was, and the greatest teacher that ever was on the earth, no question. Son of God, God in the flesh, you know. And the miracles that he did, and the healings that took place, and the storms that he stopped. And you can follow him through the shores of Galilee and the streets of Capernaum. You can watch him raise the dead and cast out devils and heal people and preach the gospel and forgive sinners and change lives. And all that's good and true and well, but he's more than just that. We often see him on the cross and we see his death and we preach the cross. That's part of the preaching of the gospel, is the cross. But you know, the central theme of the Bible is not the cross, and the central theme of the Bible is not the Virgin Mary and the Christmas scene, the nativity scene, the crux and the core and the central theme of the Bible is the resurrection, the empty tomb. Because not only did Jesus, was he born sinless, not only was he was a great teacher and a miracle worker and did he live a sinless life, not only did he die on the cross for your sins, not only was he buried, but he came out of that grave. They carried him to that tomb, but he came out on his own and conquered hell, death, and the grave and arose with the keys of hell and death, and everything has changed since then. Everything is different since then. In fact, when you die and I die, you know, we don't go down anymore. We used to go down to a place called Abraham's bosom. We used to go to a place, a holding tank, as it were, because till Jesus rose from the dead, nobody could go to heaven. Jesus talked about that in Luke 16. But since he rose from the dead, now when you die, you go straight to heaven. You know, they stoned Stephen in Acts 7, and he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit," because that's where his spirit went. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:8, he said, "To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." So now I know when I die as a Christian, hey, don't grieve for me. Don't you sorrow for me. I'm going to heaven. I mean, this, you can kick this little body over in a hole somewhere. It's not me. I'm gone. I've gotten out of this suit and gone to heaven. Are you with me? Because when Jesus rose from the dead, he changed everything. And because he lives, I live. We heard all these testimonies about miracles that take place and deliverance, answered prayer, changed lives. Well, it doesn't stop there. It just goes right on into glory. Hallelujah. I mean, when I take my last breath here, I'm stepping off into heaven. Hallelujah. I'm stepping off into a better place because Jesus came out of that grave. He conquered hell and death. He has the keys of hell and death, and the devil can't hold us down anymore. Amen. Jesus got the keys. And so from then on, everybody that dies goes to heaven now, that knows Jesus as Lord and Savior. Every Christian goes to heaven. And we see that change take place. Thank God. Amen. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to try to make this, I may get a little more complicated because I have the children in here now. I can get a little deeper. That's just a joke. I don't have to dumb it down or anything now. See, I got the kids in here. They'll understand. Well, if you can't make it simple for a child to understand, you don't know what you're talking about. Amen? That's the way I look at it. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel." Everybody say gospel. Gospel just means good news. That's all it means. You know, we often say gospel, it means truth. Well, the gospel is truth, but the word gospel just means good news. It's evangelion. We get the word evangelist from it. We get the word eulogy from it when we say good things about someone at a funeral. So he's saying, "I declare to you the good news." I like that. Because really, that's, when you come to church, you should hear the good news. Oh, you may hear about hell, but the good news is you don't have to go there. You may hear me talk about sin, but the good news is you can come out of that sin. God loves you. He's for you. You know, we don't hate people. You know, when I talk about adultery and homosexuality and all those things, we don't hate people, do they? I don't hate people that had abortions. God, I believe it's sin. I believe the Bible is very plain it's sin. But God loves homosexuals, loves people that have had abortion, loves people that have committed adultery, loves liars, loves people that gossip. I just want to include everybody in this, okay? But we can't stand up and say that's okay and it's all right. No, it's a sin, but we don't hate anybody. In fact, bring the adulterer, bring the homosexual, bring anybody that will repent and turn to God. We've all sinned. We've got no stones to throw. Are you with me? But there is a standard, and God has the standard right here. And the good news is it doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been. God loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. You know, I heard a preacher preach one time years ago, and he was a street preacher, and boy, he was hard. He was mean. I'm thinking, you know, if you're going to preach the good news, preach it glad. Don't preach it mad. But he was just hateful and mean, and up there preaching the gospel, and he says, "You hate your mama, you hate your papa, you never done a good thing in your life, but God loves you and I love you. God bless your dirty, rotten little hearts." And I thought, whoa, he's going to have a lot of people come down the altar call. Well, we may have hated our mama. I don't know. We may have never done a good thing in our life, but the good news is, praise God, God can turn our lives around, and he can change our lives, and if you'll come to Jesus, he can make a difference in your life. Pure and simple. He does not hate you. I don't hate you. We don't hate sinners. We hate sin. Right. I mean, the church has gotten such a bad rap, it seems like, especially this day and age we're living in, where sin is being glorified and trying to be forcing us to accept every kind of lifestyle and everything going on. They paint the picture that we are against people, and we're not. We're for people. My goodness, we've all sinned. Every one of us, every saint has a past. Every sinner has a future. Are you with me? Glory to God. But if we don't stand up, let me tell you something. If I don't stand up as a Christian, as a believer, as a minister of the gospel, and tell you what is right and what is wrong, where in the world are you going to hear it? We're the last vestige of hope this world has for morality and righteousness in the earth. But the world does need to know, and I think sometimes we've done a bad job of this. The world needs to know what we're for, not just what we're against. Are you with me? Sometimes the way we preach doesn't go over so well. Sometimes we do come across hard and hateful. But then the other extreme is that we never mention it at all. We just say everything's okay. Well, everything's not okay. You jump off the roof, you will hit the ground. You need to tell people that. Gravity is a powerful thing. You need to work with it. So we as the church should tell people the way to live and what's right, but we should love people. We are for people. Amen? Y'all sure got quiet. Should I give an altar call now? Anybody want to repent anything? Okay. We love you. We for you, not against you. So he says good news. Everybody say good news.
Good news.
See, that's the good news, is that you can come to Jesus. Wherever you've been, whatever you've done, you're not hopeless and helpless. God's for you. He's not against you. But now he won't leave you where you are. He will change you. There's no question. But if you'll come to him, he'll help you, praise God. But he loves you. He's crazy about you. He really is. It says, by which also you are saved. He says this. I love this. I declare to you the good news, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand. Thank God for people to stand up and preach the gospel. Thank God for churches that are bold to declare God's word and God's love to a suffering, dying humanity. And it is by this preaching of the gospel, that we are saved. I love it. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. I hadn't believed in vain. It changed my life. 40 years ago, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I was 5 years old. Now, I just told a lie. See, that I had to repent of that. But anyway, 40 years ago, I accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Never been the same. Never looked back. Never had reason to look back. I hadn't been perfect. I'm just saying that changed my life, and I've got no regrets. None whatsoever. I came out of drugs and jails. I came out of, just living wild. My family had issues. We all had issues. But, thank God Jesus changed my life. Got kicked out of high school and never finished high school. I would have stayed in there. They just wouldn't let me stay. They couldn't. I mean, there's no way they could have let me stay in there. But when God saved me and then a year later called me to teach, I didn't have any credentials. I didn't have any abilities. I didn't have any, documents, as it were, and certificates, as it were. But, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. When he calls you, he anoints you, and he gifts you, and he gives you those gifts and anointing. And yes, I have studied since then. Yes, I have dug into the word since then. But God can do anything with anybody. He really can. He is a miracle worker. And we're celebrating today a miracle called the resurrection. And if that same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, and that's what the scripture says, he can do anything in your life that needs to be done. Don't you hold back. Don't you fear the future. Don't you be afraid of stepping out, as it were. Listen, you step out. You do what God's calling you to do. You be the man, be the woman of God that God's called you to be. He'll help you do that. He'll help you be the best you can ever be. He won't help you be anybody else, but he'll help you be you, and he'll help you be the best you can be. You make a lousy me, I make a lousy you, but you make a great you. Are you with me? For Jesus, with his power. And he says this, third verse, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. Paul speaking, he said, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. How many of you know that? Isn't that great? He died for our sins. He didn't die for his, he died for mine. My sins are paid. When I get to heaven, I'm getting a receipt, not an invoice. I'm getting a receipt for my sins, paid in full. Jesus died for my sins. You have to talk to Jesus about that. You can bring up my sins, you've got to talk to him about that. Because he took care of that, amen? Already paid for it. He says, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, hallelujah, according to the Scriptures. This Paul is saying, this is what I delivered to you. This is what I preach. If you follow the book of Acts and you follow Peter and you follow Paul and you listen to them preach, they preach the resurrection. Jesus was raised from the dead. You crucified. You killed him. God raised him from the dead. The third day he rose again. Some six times Jesus said he would rise again in Matthew. Before he ever died, he said, I'm going to rise. They're going to bury me. I'm going to rise again. Hallelujah. The third day's coming. See, that's why we celebrate, actually, as Christians, why we celebrate on a Sunday. You ever think about that? Because all the Jews, you know, they celebrate on Saturday. That's a Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. Well, where was the shift? Where was the change in Christianity? Well, it started with the Christian church. They believed that they should honor the Lord that first day of the week because that's the day he arose from the dead. And so we meet and have been doing it for 2,000 years on the Sunday, first day of the week. We meet every week in honor of his resurrection, of a new future, a new hope, amen, a new destiny, hallelujah. Woo, glory. Well, he says this. Excuse me for getting excited. If I get too excited, y'all just have to handle it. Y'all could amen if you wanted to. That'd be okay, too. Get excited with me. That'd be fine. Help me. Ayúdame, as they say in Espanol. Says this. Says he was buried and he rose again the third day. Aren't you glad the cross is empty? Aren't you glad the tomb is empty? Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad that Jesus beat death and beat the devil at his own game? Amen. I'm so glad of that. I'm so glad I don't have to fear death. I'm so glad that there's something on the other side. Hallelujah. Everything's changed now. Jesus rose from the dead. He did what couldn't be done by the power of God. Third day, hallelujah. God said it's enough, and he came out of that grave. Came out with full authority, came out with the keys of hell and death, came out and changed everything. Praise God. He said after this happened, he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. And after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at one time. Isn't that amazing? Over 500 people saw him. That's when he ascended up on the mount. And it says, I always make a joke. God bless. Everybody say, God bless Baptist. God bless Baptist. If it weren't Baptist, I wouldn't have your son-in-law. Thank God for Baptist. So I'm for Baptist. I'm for Assembly. I'm for Methodist. I'm for Catholic. I'm for, if you name the name of Christ, I am for you. In fact, we're relatives. You're stuck with me. Amen. I smile. What is it? I smile because, well, you're my relative. I laugh because there's nothing you can do about it. Okay. But it says here there were 500 that saw him. On the day of Pentecost, there were 120. You notice that? And then they're all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues in Acts 2. Well, what happened to the 380? So right off the bat, you have 380 Baptists and 120 Pentecostals. Okay. Just a thought. I mean, just a thought. It says over 500 brethren at one time saw him. The greater part remained to this present time, but some have fallen asleep. Paul is saying, as he's writing this scripture, that over half of those 500 are still alive that saw Jesus rise from the dead, that saw him after the resurrection. I mean, this is a validated event of history. People, this is the greatest testimony in a court of law, is eyewitness account. Come on. To have eyewitnesses to an event, in this case over 500, and over half of them were still alive when he was writing this book to the Corinthians. So over 250 were still alive that actually saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. Wow, what an amazing event. Isn't that amazing? Praise God. And he says this, he said the greater part are present or remain to this day, but some have fallen asleep. And after that he was seen by James and then by all the apostles, and then last of all he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. Remember on his road to Damascus, Jesus appeared to him and called him into the ministry. In fact, he was on his way to persecute Christians. Listen, there's hope for everybody. I don't know who is giving you all your pain, grief, and misery because you're a Christian, but don't give up on them. They may be right on the edge of getting saved. In fact, people just get rowdy right before they do get saved sometimes because they're resisting or holding back. You just keep praying, keep believing. God can turn around. Turn around Paul, he can turn them around. Amen. Turn to Matthew 27. Let's talk about this event. In Matthew chapter 27 is where we have actually Jesus' resurrection. It's all four accounts. It's in Matthew, it's in Mark, it's in Luke, and also in John. And we have these four eyewitness accounts of Jesus having risen from the dead, or the empty tomb. Did I say 27? I may have meant 28. I might have meant another book. I don't know. That's Matthew 28. I don't have any notes here, so I'm just going. Matthew 28 is where he talks about this. And you see it again in Mark 16 and Luke 24 and I think John 20 or 21. All four Gospels gives this account. They all agree that Jesus rose from the dead. I would concur. Amen. He saved me and changed my life. All I know is I was blind, now I see. Amen. I was lost, now I'm found. My life's been turned around and changed. And many people here today, just as that, what a testimony that song, that PowerPoint song. Many people could stand up today and testify, I'm alive because he lives, because he's alive and he lives. I'm healed because he lives. I got a future because he lives. I got hope because he lives. I can get up in the morning. I got a reason to get up in the morning. Praise God. It says here in Matthew 28, and I love this because it talks about the women that went out to the tomb. Now here's these big, strong men, you know, who walked with Jesus for 3 years and three and a half years in his ministry. Peter, James, John, sons of thunder. James and John is what they were called. And Peter, who was always bold, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he cut the guy's ear off. The servant of the high priest came to take Jesus, and here's Peter. He comes and cuts his ear off, and Jesus takes it and puts it right back on the heels of him. It's all in the Bible. You ought to go read it. Good book. Anyway, and he denies Jesus after that. Big, bold Peter, you know, denies Jesus. And so here it is the third day, and they hadn't finished embalming Jesus because when he died, it was a holy Sabbath, a holy day, a high Sabbath. And it wasn't a Saturday, but it was a high Sabbath. And so they didn't finish embalming him. They just quickly wrapped him up and put him in the tomb. And they went back to finish the process here. But there's no men here. Just the women. The men were hiding somewhere in a close room. Hello. And the women are the one that went to the tomb. I just always thought that was significant. Man, I'll tell you what. It's like that, you know, women, they're tougher than you think they are. You know that old saying, mama ain't happy, nobody happy? When grandma's not happy, you better run. But I can imagine, I mean, the men thinking of, they got guards there because they put guards by the tomb, you know. They're going to be resistance. There's going to be someone that's going to stop and challenge them. But these women, they will not be denied. I mean, it's like a woman going to a cell. You know, they're going to get that cell. I don't care what the story, it's in the paper, it is written. They're going to pull the coupon out. They're going to get the sale, and they're going to be bold about it, you know. So the women, they're marching up there, man. They got their stuff. They're going to finish this process. But everybody, they just killed Jesus. I mean, there's opposition here, but that didn't stop them. That didn't deter them. They went all the way. First verse, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, the sun was just coming up. The sun had already come up, actually. The Son of God had already risen. Amen. Mary Magdalene, who was a prostitute, who met Jesus and Jesus forgave her and changed her life and completely turned her life around. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. What a sight. Can you imagine? I mean, that Easter morning, that resurrection morning, they're walking up there and they hear this earthquake takes place, the stone rolls away, and they're sitting on top of the stone is an angel. Just waiting for somebody bold enough to come check out the empty tomb. And I do not believe the stone was rolled away to let Jesus out. It was rolled away to let us in, to let us see that it was empty. And Jesus came right through the walls when he appeared to the disciples. He didn't have to have the stone rolled away. The stone was rolled away so you and I could see the tomb is empty. And he sat there, and the women came up, and it says, his countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him, became like dead men. They just passed out. I mean, literally fell out like dead men. These great soldiers, you know, guarding the tomb. And the only people left standing to see women. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. Oh, my. He is not here. He is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. That's why they rolled the stone away. You know, and this was a common saying amongst Christians for centuries, the early Christians. They would say, he is risen. And the response would always be, he is risen indeed. I love that. I think that's just awesome. Because that was the crux of Christianity. Not the cross. The empty tomb. The resurrection. Paul said, if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain and you are dead in your sins. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, stick the fork in, we're all done. But he did rise from the dead. He conquered hell, death, and the grave. He paid the price for your sins, and he proved it by coming back out of that grave, and witness after witness after witness saw him. And here, when the women went and saw the angel of the Lord that was there on the tomb, on the stone, says, he is not here, for he is risen as he said. Everybody say, as he said. Because he did tell him he was going to rise over and over several times in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He fulfilled his word. In fact, his word raised him from the dead, really. His faith in God, of course he was God, but he was also man. But his faith in the resurrection caused him to rise from the dead. His confession, what he said over and over. He said, I will rise again. He laid his life down by himself and picked it up by himself by the power of God. He was the first born again man. Now, I know he's God. I'm not taking away from that. I know he's God. The Bible says he's God. But he's also our brother. He's also the firstborn among many brethren. He's also the first begotten of the dead. He's not the last one. The rest of us are included in that number. Amen. You and I are coming back out of that grave. Oh, hallelujah. It's just going to be a short time. In fact, he just rented it for 3 days. He didn't even need it for very long. He was just planted. He wasn't buried. What you plant comes back up. Amen. In fact, really, what we do when we bury someone, we put a tombstone out there. Just like if you were a farmer, you would plant a row of squash and you'd put a stake out there with a picture of whatever that is, because that's what's going to come up. We put somebody's name on that tombstone because they're not going to stay there forever. They're come back out. They're going, just like if we plant something that comes back up, they're come back up too. Here lies so-and-so, but not forever. We have just planted him in the ground. He's going to come back up when that trumpet sounds. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen? Okay, let me wrap this up because I'll just have to stop. We don't get through. We just stop. It says, he is not here. He is risen. And he said, come see the place where the Lord lay and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. I love this. First missionary was a woman. Now, God bless the Baptist. Stay with me. But I know people say, well, you know, I don't think women all speak in church. Well, you try to keep them quiet in church. I'm done. God sent a woman to tell the disciples. Okay. Well, I either made you happy or I made you mad. I don't know. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And they did. They ran quickly. And, of course, Peter and John, all that believed him, and they ran and checked it out for themselves. They didn't believe what they said. They thought they were crazy. And they ran and checked out the tomb, and, of course, there it was, empty, just like they said. And it's been empty ever since. Listen, we're not talking about Muhammad here. We're not talking about Buddha. We're not talking about Jeremiah, Ezekiel, or Daniel. We're not talking about Moses. You know, Moses was a prophet, and still was Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Buddha was just a real heavy-set guy. You rub his belly, you get, I don't know, something, good luck or something. And Muhammad, I don't know what Muhammad is. He's a mess. We're having trouble with Muhammad today. Are you with me? But Jesus was nothing like those guys at all, even the good ones like Moses and Jeremiah. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus came and did what he said. Hallelujah. Jesus paid the price for your sins. Jesus didn't come to teach you. He didn't come to just guide you. He didn't come to just be an example to you. He came to die for your sins. Muhammad didn't die for your sins, and Buddha didn't die for your sins, and no other prophet died for your sins, and nobody ever rose from the dead except Jesus. That's what we celebrate today, amen? Amen. It's not about the bunny. That's right. Nothing wrong with Easter eggs and bunnies and all those things, but it's not about that. It's about him, amen, and we celebrate him this day.